Hallelujah. Well, glory. It's important what we're doing. I believe consistency is the key. I believe consistency is the key in just about anything that you do. You know, Proverbs says that a wise man builds wealth little by little. What is that? That's consistency. Be consistent with whatever you're doing, whatever you put your hand to, and the Lord will prosper it. Amen?
Amen.
That goes with prayer. I believe that goes in with our work life. Relationships. Come on, you can take it anywhere. Be consistent. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't be distracted. But be consistent. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I want to just touch a little bit. I'm going to continue with what I was talking about last week. How many remember what the title of last week was? Envision your destiny. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, y'all need a refresher, so I'm going to give you one. I talked about that you have the power to change your destiny, right? And how did I said that, look, if you are born again, if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you already proved the point because you changed your destiny. You were destined for hell, and you changed your destiny to heaven, right? You have the power to change your destiny. That's what we were talking about last week. So, what is your destiny? What is your destiny? You know, it's funny, my dad, I think he's 77 years old now. And this happened probably, it's been a couple years now. So he was probably 75. It was probably a benchmark birthday for him. And just got him thinking. And he said, you know what? I just don't feel like I'm done yet. I believe God has something that he wants me to do. 75 years old, and he's saying, I'm just not done. God has something that he wants me to accomplish in this earth. And it's never too late. It is never too late for God to be able to speak to you, for you to hear him, for you to be obedient, for you to walk in that thing, be consistent in it, and change your destiny. Change your destiny. We all have the ability to change our destiny. So what is our destiny? Turn to Revelation chapter 5. And you probably know where I'm going with this. Because we have heard this before. Everyone likes to quote it. Revelation chapter 5, and I'll be reading King James and Amplified. I'll let you know which one. I believe this one's going to be the Amplified. Revelation 5, and I'm going to start in verse 9, the second part. I'll just start to begin there at verse 9. It says, and now they sing a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, talking about Jesus, and to break the seals that are on it, for you were slain or sacrificed, and with your blood you purchased men unto God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom, a royal race, and priests to our God. And they shall reign as kings over the earth. Where? Over the earth. Your destiny, part of your destiny is to reign and rule as kings over the earth. To reign and rule as kings over the earth. How many feel like they are ruling and reigning right now? Why? Why? Why are we not? Why? That's the question. Why? Well, I believe part of it, and it goes back right back to what Reggie shared a couple weeks ago, you don't have a picture of that. You don't have a picture of you reigning and ruling in life. You can't imagine that. You imagine yourself going to work every day, right? You imagine yourself getting up, brushing your teeth, taking a shower, picking out what clothes you're going to wear, getting in your car, going to your place of employment. Or if you're like Robert, you just go to the kitchen. Amen. That's right. Amen. I put my time in. So you imagine yourself doing that stuff. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, I am not belittling our everyday life. But it's easy for us to imagine that, what we do every day. But why can't we imagine ourselves reigning and ruling in life? It worked for Joseph, didn't it? I know he had a rough go of it, but what happened in the end? Saved his whole household because he ended up being second in the kingdom. Second in the kingdom. You say maybe you don't want that kind of responsibility. Well, how about just imagining that you can change the atmosphere when you walk into the room or walk into your place of employment or walk into the marketplace? Can't you imagine yourself changing the atmosphere around you because of the one that is inside of you? Listen, I this has been years and years ago. I remember having a conversation with a coworker from time to time, but we worked in the same building, we weren't in the same office, but this heathen cussed like a sailor, would let you know about it, did it at work, didn't care who was around. I mean, we weren't like in a public place, so didn't care. But this is not to build me up, but when I walked into the room, he changed his speech. He changed his speech. Why? I believe because he was convicted by the light that is inside of me, Jesus inside of me. And that's how it should be in this world. When we go places, when we're out in the marketplace, people should recognize that light inside of us. And if they're not born again, there's a conviction inside of them. There is a conviction. You don't even have to say anything. And you're impacting them because you're letting your light shine wherever you go. That's what we need to start imagining. That's the picture we need to have in the forefront of our minds, that we are changing the people around us. We're changing them. Wherever you go, what is your destiny? What is your destiny? How many remember Dan Foley that came and we had an interview conversation about his newest book, Cracking Heaven's Code? I got these 6 points from him, and I thought they fit. So I just want to share what he says. And I believe it fits, and I'm giving him credit for them. I don't know where he got them from. I hope he thought them up. But one is, and this is, I'm talking about how to change your destiny or your destiny. What is your destiny, okay? And I'm going to give you these 6 points that I believe if you'll take them to heart, they will help you. They will help you, right? They will stir some things up on the inside of you. I know they did for me. One, it will incorporate your gifts, talents, and passions. Your destiny will incorporate your gifts, talents, and your passions. What are you passionate about? What do you see as the gift inside of you? What spiritual gifts do you see yourself operating in? Well, your destiny will incorporate your gifts, talents, and passions. Two, it will involve helping people. Your destiny will involve helping people. It's not about you. It's not about what you can accomplish. It's about helping others and what helping them accomplish. Helping them attain or work towards their destiny. Your destiny is going to involve helping people. It will appear impossible. If you look at it in the natural, your destiny will appear impossible. And if you think about it, go back to what Revelation said, that we are kings on this earth. We're to rule and reign. To some of us, that seems impossible. To some of us, that seems impossible, to rule and reign in this life and all that comes with that. Well, if it seems impossible, it's part of your destiny. It will involve the help of others. You weren't meant to do it alone. We are not an island unto ourselves, right? We are to come together as a corporate body and help one another. Help each other. As iron sharpens iron, we're to help one another. So your destiny involves the help of others. Your destiny involves it being multi-generational. See, we've got, I was watching some program, and I don't remember the details of it, but they were talking about and I think it was more about in business, from a business aspect, but they were talking about how we don't think multi-generational anymore. You know, when people were building a business, and they gave time frames and stuff, years and years ago, they would think, how is this going to impact the next generation? And the next generation after them. As in general sense, we don't think that way anymore. Right? We're a microwave society. Hey, what can I get now? How can it service me now? I don't let the next generation worry about the next generation. I don't need to worry about it. I don't want to worry about it. I want to, me. I mean, Joyce Myers, I'm always reminded about that robot. She does me. So your destiny, and again, I'm trying to get you to get a picture, start imagining your destiny. Your destiny involves being multi-generational. Now, I know we all have our hope for the soon return of Jesus Christ, and that's okay. We need to have that. But if He tarry, we need to keep that multi-generational mindset about our destiny. And the sixth thing that Dan shared and he said is that it'll be balanced. It'll be balanced. Your destiny will be balanced. You won't be so, it's kind of like church. I mean, people can get on one point, make that a doctrine, and that's their whole vision for that body, is that one point. Well, it has to be balanced. He's saying your destiny has to be balanced. It'll incorporate your gifts, talents, and passions. It'll involve helping people. It'll appear impossible. It'll involve the help of others helping you. It'll be multi-generational, and it'll be balanced. What is your destiny? What is your destiny? Just turn to 1 Corinthians. This will be out of the King James Version. Envisioning your destiny is what we're talking about. Envisioning your destiny. And I know that's, it sounds cool. It sounds easy. Hey, I live in the same world you do. I get distracted by the same things that you do. Things steal my time. The same things steal my time that you do. I find myself sometimes being distracted from praying about this assignment that we have. And I continually, and thank you, Wanda, for continually stirring us up and bringing us back to that. And I try to do that with myself. So I understand. And Jesus understands. He went through the same things. He was tempted in all ways, just like we are. Even this, 2,000 some years ago, beyond his life here on this earth, he was tempted in all this. He understands. You have a high priest that understands. You have a high priest that has been tempted in all the same things that we're tempted by, distracted in all the same areas that we're distracted by. You have a high priest that you can go to and ask, what is my destiny? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I said I was going to read out of the King James, starting in verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you," this is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, When I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Listen, if all you know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that's enough. It is enough. When you're thinking about your destiny, when you're imagining, we've been talking, and last week I talked about the unchurched and unbelievers and some surprises that you probably didn't know about them. And so when you're communicating with them, all Paul says is, that's all he needed to know was Jesus Christ and Him crucified as he shared with them. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. How many have been there? Whether you're sharing the gospel with someone or whether you are confronting someone about, you know, something that you need to talk to them about, or whether you are believing God to make a job change, or, you know, something is changing in your family. I mean, some of us, I would venture to say all of us have been there in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." When you're believing God about your destiny, let Him do the heavy lifting. He's not asking you to bear the weight. He's just asking you to believe. He'll carry the burden. We weren't designed to carry the burden. He'll carry the burden. He'll carry the heavy load. We just need to believe. We just need to exercise our faith and let Him do the heavy lifting. Amen? Verse 6, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." Let me read that verse 6 in the Amplified Version. It says, Yet when we are among the full grown, that is spiritually mature Christians who are ripe in understanding." Are you spiritually mature and ripe in understanding? "We do impart a higher wisdom, the knowledge of the divine plan previously hidden. But it is indeed not a wisdom of this present age or of this world, nor of the leaders and rulers of this age who are being brought to nothing and are doomed to pass away." The rulers of this age. What age? What age? The age where Satan rules. Satan rules the world. Satan. Let me say that again, because some of y'all may not have heard that before or might not understand that, but Satan rules this world. I know I've been told Beyonce thinks that girls do. But the Word says Satan does. My daughter is just rolling her eyes at me. He rules the world. Why? Because God gave the world to Adam. Turned it over to Adam. He says, "All dominion is yours." Adam bowed his knee and gave it to Satan. Right? Carte blanche. Gave it to Satan. But then Jesus came. Amen. Right? Amen. The blameless Lamb, without blemish or fault. Jesus came. But He got it back for us. But listen to this. It's not... Let me word this right. Just because He got it back doesn't mean it's ours. It's kind of an a la carte deal, right? You know, just because He got it back does not mean everyone that lives in the world has dominion now. We have to make a choice. We have to choose to believe in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And then with that, we get back that authority and power that was given to Adam originally. Jesus got it back. I wrote this, I said, He didn't give it back to us. God didn't give the earth back to us because of Jesus. Meaning just because Jesus fulfilled His part, it isn't automatically transferred back to us. No, we have a part, and that is one of choice. We have to choose Jesus and believe that He is. And when we do, then all power and authority and dominion are transferred back to us again, as when Adam walked the earth. So what is the destiny you are imagining for yourself? Because we read it in Revelation. You are destined to reign and rule in this earth. You are destined to be a king. A royal race. But do you see yourself as that? Do you see yourself reigning and ruling in this life? And what does reigning and ruling in this life mean? Well, Jesus, I think that's the easiest. He died to give us life and life more abundantly. Abundant life. That abundant life. Does it mean you're going to have bad days? You're not going to have bad? No. But how do you deal with the bad days? What do you believe in for in those bad days? Are you seeing yourself on the other side of that bad day? Are you living in the bad day? Are you staying in the bad day? Is your bad day turning into a bad week? And then your bad week turning into a bad month? No. The bad day is a bad day. Tomorrow's a new day. His mercies are new every morning. So what is your destiny? You have all power and authority to make it happen, but it has to line up with His will, God's Word. His will is His Word. His Word is His will. So, why we need to get into this book? This book is spending time with God in relationship with Him. If you're not in this book, I don't know. I think I've said it before. If you're not in that book, reading that book, I don't know if you can be, well, you certainly can't be as successful as you have the ability to be. You got to get in the book. You got to read what His Word says, what His will is for you. What is your destiny? Maybe. Listen, this church is, it's been prophesied that we're a strategic church. It's been prophesied that the epicenter of something that is going to go out into our community. We've picked up an assignment, Operation School Guard, Wanda just shared with us. Maybe your destiny is to train up a child in the way they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. And they'll beat the living snot out of the devil and all his cohorts. It doesn't really say that. Proverbs 22 says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. But it's interesting. I found this interesting. As I was reading that verse, and then my mind, and I believe the Holy Spirit took me to Operation School Guard. How many, when you read that verse, you automatically assume it's talking about your own personal children? Train up a child in the way they should go, so that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. How many assume, it's speaking about your own personal child? Well, it says a child. Train up a child. It doesn't say train up your child. Train up a child in the way that they should go. And I believe that's what Operation School Guard is doing. I believe that. Our prayers are plowing the ground of those children's hearts so that the incorruptible seed of God, His Word, can be planted in their heart to train them up as they get older and they will not depart from it. Get a picture for what you're doing in praying for those children. You are training them up Now, you may not physically be helping them and training them up and speaking to them directly, but you are plowing the ground of their heart, preparing the ground of their heart to receive the Word of God, which is going to train them up. And then when they're old, they'll not depart from it, and they'll be kicking some devil booty. And you have a part in that, training them up. What is your destiny? What if it is to help raise up a generation of young people that are bold in their faith and transform the church into the powerhouse it should be by simply praying for them? We sang that song, An Awakening. We've read, if you have one of those books, you've got an article about children being the secret weapon. A secret weapon. I'm telling you, an awakening is coming, and I believe it is coming to our young people, and I believe that they're going to walk in a power that we haven't seen on this earth in years and years and years. I believe they're going to walk in a power that we, and you know what? The church will be jealous of it, because the church should have been walking in that power all along. What is your destiny? Your destiny is to rule and reign in this life and in the life to come. But it depends on you. It depends on you. What are you saying about yourself when it comes to your destiny? What are you saying about yourself? Better yet, what does the Word say about you? That's really what you should be saying about yourself. You should be saying about yourself what the Word says about you. Not what other people say about you. Not what the advertising moguls want you to say about yourself, you know. But what does the Word say about you? Get those negative thoughts, those negative pictures out of your mind. Oh, I could never. I could never. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too big. I'm too small. Get those things out of your mind. I'm not educated enough. I don't have enough education to do that. You know, I'm not smart enough. No. Change your words. It'll change the picture. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter. I didn't put a chapter down. No, we're still in 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen to... listen to the wisdom of God in this passage. And think about your destiny. Think about the destiny of a few fishermen that God used to turn the world upside down. Verse 17, 1 Corinthians, King James, verse 17, says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Some of you don't, you know, you're afraid you're going to get your words twisted. You're afraid you're going to mess up your words. Well, it says here that he didn't come with wisdom of words. Verse 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Because God has made Christ wisdom, and we are in Christ, then we are wise. And those that are without Christ are fools. Don't ever say, I'm not educated enough. I don't know enough. All you need to know, Paul said it, was Christ and him crucified. And that's enough. That's a great start. That's a tremendous starting place. If you can't get a picture of your destiny, start there. Christ and him crucified. And it'll be enough. He will surround you with the people you need to accomplish the vision that he has given you. And that goes back to those 6 points. And you know, Wanda, we've been talking about Operation School Guard and not getting ahead of God. And I remember when we first started talking, what if this goes out? And I remember the look on your face. You said, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. That's too big for me. But God. Point number 3 says it will appear impossible. But he'll bring the people alongside. If it is his will, he will bring the people alongside to accomplish it. He will bring, and I believe it's a passion. I believe it's a gift. Prayer is a gift that he's placed inside of you. I believe it is helping people. I'm just thinking about Operation School Guard and going down these 6 points. Specifically, you know, about you, Wanda, because God birthed that in your heart. It's incorporating your gifts, talents, and passions. It involves helping people. It appeared impossible. It will involve the help of others. We've already seen that. It'll be multi-generational. We're not just affecting school-age kids. We are affecting generations. And it'll be balanced. I don't know what that means in there. But it'll be balanced. Let that be an encouragement to you. To all of us. As we continue to keep that before us, to the forefront. We've been saying it for a long time. Prayer is a priority. Prayer must precede anything. And so we need to make prayer a priority, not only in this church, but in our personal lives. And prayer is what? Just simply spending time with the Father, conversing, communing with the Father, listening. Sometimes we spend so much time speaking, we don't even allow ourselves to listen and let the Holy Spirit speak back. So that's what I wanted to do today. Just stir some things up inside of you along this same vein that Reggie started out in, and picturing, you know, creating a picture in your mind of what your destiny is, to reign and rule in this earth, to live the abundant life in this earth, right? Body, soul, and spirit. We're a three-part being. We need to be abundant, living the abundant life in all three parts of us. Now, if you're born again, your spirit man is good. It's your soul, your body, the flesh. That's where we need the victory. Each and every day. Consistency. Consistency. Consistently seeking the Father. Consistently seeking the Father for your destiny. I believe we are all called. We all have a purpose. We are all special, unique individuals with unique gifts, unique talents, unique passions, unique rabbits. I was just making sure my wife was paying attention. You know how you catch a unique rabbit? You sneak up on it. Hallelujah. I think we're going to end it there. I hope you're encouraged today. That's a bad one, I know. It's one of my favorites, though. I pray that you're encouraged today. I pray that the Holy Spirit has stirred some things inside of you about your destiny, about what He wants to accomplish in this earth through you. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. You need to tap into that plan. Spend time with the Father. Spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. If you don't know how you ought to pray or what you ought to ask, spend some time praying in the Holy Spirit. And I believe He'll reveal it to you. He will. He says if you lack wisdom, just ask. He will liberally give it to you. Not just enough to get you by, but that word liberally means pour out on you. Okay, I don't know if that's the actual definition. That's my definition. Saturate you with it. More than enough. He'll give you more than enough. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you that you continue to show us your love for us. Even when we miss the mark, you love us. You love us. You love us. You love us so much. You sent Jesus, your Son, to die for us. Because you wanted us to have that authority and power that you gave to Adam, that he gave away. You wanted us to have it back. So you put in motion a plan. And that plan involved your Son, Jesus. And he died on the cross. He bore the sins of the world upon his body. To give us relationship with you. It is no small thing. Oh, church, we need to keep that before us continually. The blood of Jesus, what the blood has done. If it had not been for the blood, the shed blood of Jesus, where would I be? Where would you be? We'd be destined for hell. I've never seen it. I believe that people on this earth have gotten a glimpse of it, but I don't believe anyone has seen the fullness of it. I believe if someone saw the fullness of it, they would just probably fall dead in stark terror. But God, you've preserved us from that through the blood of your Son, and we are ever and eternally grateful for that sacrifice. So church, let us never forget the sacrifice that was made by the Son of God who came and died for you, gave his life for you so that you could reign and rule in this earth and share share what you have with others. May He give you boldness to share your faith. May He give you boldness to let your light shine wherever you go. May He give you boldness to be the salt of the earth. Just like Peter, when he stood up and gave that speech to thousands, it said it cut them to the heart. May God give you the boldness to speak and cut people to the heart that don't know Jesus. And Stephen, just before he was stoned, the words he spoke, it said, cut them to their heart. Lord, let our words be seasoned with salt. And let them cut to the heart, the true heart of the matter, as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We honor you. We magnify you in this place. I pray that the whole church is awakened and arises to fulfill its destiny. In Jesus' name, amen.